tick until we grow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Music Monday show with Nancy and Lisa. That was Throwing Stones. It is the second single from world-renowned bass player Chuck Wright's brand new solo album. It's called Sheltering Sky. It's out now through Cleopatra Records. We love Cleopatra. They're really a great, great album.
Oh, yeah.
Venue. And Chuck is here. How are you, Chuck?
I'm very good. I'm excited. I've been going nonstop doing interviews about the album, and it's been very well received all around from everybody. They're basically kind of shocked at first, I think, because a lot of people just know me as a rock bass player. But if you look at, I've done over 100 albums. If you look at all the different things I've done, I've covered, I actually co-produced 2 reggae records. I did ambient trance. I've done rap with the Send Off from Cypress Hill. I've done country. I've done a lot of different things. And I was actually in a flamenco band for 2 years, which right was kind of, you can kind of hear that influence on Weight of Silence, which is the opening track. But the video you just saw, somebody compared it to Primus meets Stevie Wonder, which is an interesting an interesting combo platter.
Yeah.
But actually that song, the lyric and the vocal melody were written by Joe Retta, who's a very close friend of mine. And we were in a project called Heaven and Earth at one time. He was in the suite and Dio Disciples. Dio Disciples. Anyway, he wrote the lyric, which is an anti-war message. But he wrote it last year. It was before the Russian invasion. So when I made the video, I wanted to tie that up, what was going on in the world now with that. And the message of the song is, we started out as humans throwing stones at each other. Now we're like throwing missiles at each other. When are we going to learn? How much longer will it take before we learn?
Yeah, no, it's sad what is going on, and it doesn't solve anything.
It's a land grab. It's an aggressive land grab for Putin, and we all know that's what's going on. He takes over the ports there and the agricultural, they've become a pariah state. Russia has. This last few years have been crazy between the pandemic. And this, the only good thing about the pandemic for me, and God, it's so sad that we've lost so many people, but this was the first time I've had the time to sit down and just create music. And when I was looking around at the world when the pandemic hit, it had a post-apocalyptic feel to it with the empty streets, New York City, nobody on the street of all places. And so I sat down and wrote the song that we were talking about earlier, Weight of Silence, because it's a heavy, the silence of everything is pretty heavy. And I put edited together a video with drone footage of empty, very famous places, empty cities like New York City and Paris, and all the some footage of me playing all the instruments. And I originally put that out, and then I was contacted by Troy Lucchetta, the drummer from Tesla, he said, hey, I love this, I'd love to play drums on it. So he had a studio, put some drums on it. And then another friend named Alan Hines, who's a jazz fusion guitarist that's super popular here. He sells out wherever he plays. He played on it. And then Dark Sharinian from Dream Theater ended up playing on it. So I edited together a new version of it and put that out. And it just won best video and best instrumental song with the Rock Music Alliance Awards, which that just happened 2 days ago.
And that's awesome. Cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I didn't even know it was nominated. So
no, but it's
cool. Hey, by the way, you won.
Hey, yeah, but I think it's such a great start to the album, because it just leads you through, and this your album has so many different styles in it. It flows. Yeah. It's mystical, otherworldly yet worldly. Mm-hmm. There's like a global feel to it at the same time. Yeah. And it's dark and then light. It's really quite a trip, and I've listened to it so much. The first time John sent it, I just started playing, and I'm like, oh God, we got to do this, And I think people always go back to your days in Quiet Riot. It's they're going to be kind of shocked about this.
Well, the thing about this is, I never intended to be doing a solo album. I just was writing song, as they say, art for art's sake. Just writing music I would want to hear, and just started recording. Then I would contact a friend of mine, from whatever band or just people I've worked with through doing Ultimate Jam Night, new people I've met or people I've known throughout my history of career that I thought would be perfect for this part I'm working on. And I said, hey, check this out. You want to play on it? I think you'd be great on it. And they all said, yeah, I want to do this. This is great. So that's how I ended up having 41 guest performers on my album.
I know, it's crazy. I can't keep, I was looking at it's the cool list. I'm like, well, he's just going to have to tell us who's on what, because, it's wild.
On the album, in the album package, it says who's on what.
Awesome.
Hence the name Chuck Wright's Sheltering Sky. It's not like Chuck Wright and the album title, Sheltering Sky. It's kind of like a project title, or because I've always kind of felt like I'm the with Ultimate Jam Night since 2015, bringing in 40 to 100 musicians at every show. I've kind of felt like, you know, an overseer, the umbrella over everybody and putting people together. And so that's kind of where the name came from originally. And I think it fits the style of the music, because it's pretty cinematic feeling album, and Sheltering Sky kind of has that feel to it.
I feel like it's going to end up on a lot of soundtracks as a soundtrack for movies. And
for sure. That would be great, because that's one of the only revenue streams left for the music.
I know, right? Oh, yeah, go put it on Spotify. Yippee.
Oh, I know. Holy.
Great. Listen. I had a million listens on Spotify and I made 25 cents.
I know, really? And so, but Bandcamp is pretty cool. I think they're about the only ones that are
That's cool. Cool. This for me is not about any of that. This is about, I really, really, you know, once it became an album, I had 5 songs and I put that video together with my friend Drew Lanius, who's a 3D animator. And we put the video together around the time that Ruth Ginsburg was passed. And I go, you know what? There's still an army of human rights believers out there. So that's why I made the army. So at this point, I had the 5 songs pretty much finished. And I said, you know what? I think I have something here. I think I have let me see. And I had other songs written that weren't close to being finished, but so let me see if somebody would be interested in it. So I shopped around and Brian Pereira, who I've worked with in the past, said, yeah, let's do this. This is great. Cool. And the thing that's great about that label is they don't meddle, you know, where some labels get in there and they tell you, no, you can't do that song, or you need to do this. You got to have another song like that. Or it's none of that. That's why I was able to have such an eclectic, diverse album.
It's because it is craft, it's art, and I think they understand from all the interviews and the albums we've heard through Cleopatra, just about all the artists have said the same thing. And and it is really important when it comes to craft, because that's the first thing that hit me when I listened. I was like, this is crafted, this is thoughtful, yet it's you know, not overproduced. And I think that's, you could go there really easily with this, you know, where you could overdo it, but you've cut it right at that piece where
I didn't get too crazy.
You know what I mean?
And this was piecemeal, that, you know, for lack of a better term, where people, I would talk with the person about what I'm looking for, and then we'd go back and forth online. So it was never a group of people really in the studio at one time, except for there's 3 tracks that I recorded earlier when Pat Torpey, my very good friend from Mr. Big, was alive. We were in the studio and recorded a bunch of things, and that's how Army of Me came about. Is we were just jamming in the studio, and the drum beat basically comes from Levee Breaks, John Bonham. You know, Bjork got that sample and did that. So we were just jamming on it. We recorded it, and then I was going through some files, and I found these songs, and I said, I have to finish these songs. These are great, and I want to honor my friend.
I love that. I think
that's great.
I kind of feel like, in a way, like it would be cool with some of, like, Army of Me and some of your songs on there to get you with Tom Morello. I was just kind of feeling that too. For some, I don't know why.
I think why, you appreciate what I'm up to.
Yeah, I think so too, you know, but the other part is you're playing more than the bass on this, right? And some of it fretless, these different styles.
All of it I'm playing, all of them, but one song, which is an instrumental song called Farewell Horizon, that I came up with all on bass parts. And then I went to my friend Toshi Unagi, who you might know from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. He's a guitar player there, but he plays everything great, and he's a great fusion guy. And I said, hey, listen, I really want some Jeff Beck meets like Alan Holdsworth type guitar parts on this, and you please write it with me, come up with some melodies. That's how that came about. But everything else on the album was done with me sitting down with an acoustic guitar. And then I also play keyboards, and I do textural stuff, and I do some percussion. one of the songs that came out all at one time, I got the phone call that Frankie Benelli, the drummer in Quiet Riot, who had been working with off and on since 81, 26 years of my life with the guy. Anyway, I found out that, you know, he'd passed. And so I sat down and just, you know, took it in.
Yeah.
And wrote, "See You on the Other Side."
Yeah, that's that. And then, you know, I think music is the healer, right? And the unifier. And it's hard when you, I mean, we lost our bass player in the band a few years ago, and it was a very sudden, like, you know, we were doing a live show and all of a sudden it was like, what the hell happened? He fell down and that was
right
it.
There? He died on stage?
We were doing a radio show, but he was our bass player years ago, and he fell down in the shower and died. Like, it's one of those crazy nuts. Freak things.
You know what? It's a lot of deaths from slippage.
Slippage, yeah, you know. But he, you know, what was so hard about his passing was all the music. So music was the savior, but at the same time, at the beginning of it, I didn't want to hear anything because it was so connected.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really hard. Whenever someone passes in the music world, I feel for all the musicians because it's like every song that you've talked about or, you know what I mean, worked on, or it just kind of, you know, it's a hard thing. One of the songs I really like, Cradle in the Sun. Tell us about that and who's singing. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That song almost didn't get on the album.
Oh, no. Wow. It's cool. It was a surprise.
Only
talk about a surprise.
It's such a curveball. It's it's really a lot like Robert Plant, Alison Krauss.
Yeah, yeah.
Spooky thing. And I have lap steel guitar on it. And there's a singer named Shelley Bonet who sings with my friend Mitch Perry, who's also on the album. I don't know if you know Mitch from Edgar Winter and Michael Schenker and everything. He's my house guitar player at Ultimate Jam Night. He has his own solo thing he's been doing, the Mitch Perry group. And she is a singer with him. And I love the tone of her voice, that raspy, soulful type of voice. And August Young is the other vocal on there. He's actually the singer on See You on the Other Side. He was singing with Frankie Benelli in his Zeppelin thing that he was
doing.
But I said, hey, you know, I want to do a Robert Plant kind of thing. So I went to the guy that sings like Robert Plant, you know.
And
I had the chorus idea for it and all the music for it. And he worked with me on the verses for that song. But yeah, I'm glad you picked that one out. It's not, you know, you wouldn't think right away from a rock guy to be doing something like that, but
it feels good. It felt such it flowed. It just felt so natural to listen to, you know. And I kind of felt like I was outside in the desert.
I was going to say sitting around the campfire.
Yeah, exactly. And not hokey, right? Whenever people talk about but you know what I mean. We're not playing Kumbaya.
I wanted to do like a almost like a gospel chorus on it with all the voices, Lorelai.
Oh wow,
that kind of thing. So there's some real low voices in there, and there's a lot of harmony going on in that chorus. And
it's like a Joshua Tree thing. It's got to go out to Joshua Tree National Park with it. That's it.
It is. Now, I just thought of this. An interesting thing about that song is the name Lorelai came to me in my head as something to sing. And I didn't know the connection until somebody pointed out. They go, you know what Lorelai is from? It's from Greek mythology. That was the name of the mermaid that called the ships to crash. Mm.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's
weird. And the chorus I came up with is Lorelai, do you hear me calling Lorelai, you know? And it's really weird the way that happened.
Weird too, because we've been, you know, doing the Pacific Northwest. We drove up Northern California,
right?
The Redwoods and all the way up, you know, through up in the Seattle and all the little islands, like Whidbey Island and stuff. And so all of these areas, like, it's different from other areas. It's just different. They have these sculptures, these statues of women with the lantern looking out, like, you know, almost like praying and shit, you know, for the ships and everything. So all this maritime history. But now I'm thinking it a completely different way. Now I'm going to call them all Lorelais, because everybody's like, oh, she's the praying. She's waiting for, you know, her fisherman husband to come home, and now I've got a whole new thing.
I looked it up in on Wikipedia, and there's a whole thing about it. There's a place.
That's cool.
I think it's in Greece, this area where the ships would go by, and there's this curve, and there's this rock that she's known to have been at.
Mm, yeah.
All the ships in, Anyway, that's just a weird, I haven't thought about it.
He's a giant octopus.
I think there's a sculpture when you come into Amsterdam of her sitting on a rock.
Is that her?
Yeah, I think it
that,
is.
I think that's, I really, I don't know. I don't know if that's her. I think it might be somebody. I don't know. I did see that.
Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw
I'll have to check.
I saw it in Copenhagen when I was in Copenhagen.
Oh, it's Copenhagen.
Yeah, it's Copenhagen. I think it's a different mermaid.
Yeah, I think it's a different one too. But anyway, that I didn't.
It's cool.
The name just came to me, and I don't know why it came to me, but it came to me in my when I was coming up with the chorus idea for it. You know,
that's a trip, man. But that's cool. And you wouldn't think about the ocean. Well, the ocean and the desert are connected.
There's been a few trippy things with this record and the serendipity, and unfortunately, sad serendipity with the war connection, and then you know doing the pandemic thing with the Weight of Silence. And then, you know, all the unrest that we were going through.
Didn't you do a show for it with your Ultimate Jam? Didn't you do something benefiting the Ukraine?
We did.
The
show before the last one, we did a benefit for the World Central Kitchen and raised a lot of money. And, you know, we auctioned off things and we had a lot of great Steel Heart and Bullet Boys and a bunch of different people came down and played. It was a packed. You couldn't fit more people in there. It was a great show.
Got
a special backdrop made up for it. For that. And that's one of the things that Ultimate Jam Night does. I mean, we will do charity events now and then, you know, like what we do food drives once a year for the homeless here.
Oh,
that's nice.
And when the Pulse nightclub incident happened, that shooting, we did a whole thing for that and flew out some people from that and tried to raise money to help those people. And we do.
So this is at the Whiskey, right?
Legendary Whiskey A Go-Go.
Nancy, your old haunt.
Yeah.
I used to sneak in before I was of age.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was going there before I was of age too. I saw Yes there for $5 when I was 15. So.
No way.
Yeah. Their first tour and Black Sabbath there and a bunch of other great
bands. Oh, that would have been epic.
It is it's awesome to have that be my home.
That's a cool place,
And it's it's a free event, and I just keep it's about the music community and bringing people together, and we do a different theme every week. This week is Britain Rocks, which part I decided when we're doing Britain Rocks, I go, well, this has to be part one, because if you look at the list of great artists out of the UK, it's insane, you know. So we'll probably be part 15 by the time we get done with it all.
Oh, man, I want to go next time we're in LA, we got to do this. I want to go.
Yeah, you got to come by.
Oh, you should.
I want to go watch
you'll
that.
Like
it,
Lisa.
Cool. I mean, it's just so good to have live music back. It's, it's, God, I mean, it's like taking away chocolate off the menu, you know? It's like.
Yeah. there's no doubt about it. I mean, excitement with people now coming to, sometimes it's the first show they've seen in 2 years, you know? They finally got out, and for a lot of the players too, they hadn't really played since the pandemic hit, and we're braving it. I know it hasn't gone away.
You know,
my feeling is I think it's going to be around like the cold. You know, it's going to be something. Yeah. You're going to have to get a shot for like the flu every year just to get it. I had it. It was mild because I'm now double boosted. You know, so
I just feel like.
All those shots you had to get as a kid going before you could go to school, you had to get the measles things, and eventually, you know, measles went away. So we're just going to have to do it that way.
Yeah,
we've had to be careful traveling, you know, just mask up and.
Well, we were with Choir Ride, I was doing a lot of weekend flyouts. So even during the heat, in fact, we did Sturgis and there was like 6,000 unmasked people there.
Yikes.
They're all those type of people. So I had a fan in front of me facing the other way, shooting.
Yeah, blow your germs that way.
Yeah, because they're all yelling. Yeah. It's all going right back.
Yeah, send it back to you. Take it back. I mean, that's funny. That's actually funny. I cannot tell the story on air, but when we first started this, you know, traveling and having to change over how we travel because of COVID, we started pet sitting. We were talking about that earlier, but one of our first sits was a lady who's in her 70s, also called Nancy, and she was to Sturgis on her last hurrah, basically on her bike, driving from Florida to Sturgis. Anyway, mm-hmm. it got crazy, and she has earned the name Dirty Godiva, and I'm going to leave it there. It got a little weird.
You could just say she's a nudist.
She was a nudist, and okay.
and it's kind of weird.
I just saw Paul McCartney on Friday, and he did Dirty, right?
Yeah.
Which is the lyric to you.
Dirty Godiva. Yeah, Dirty Madonna.
Yeah.
Dirty. Yeah, you know, now it's like, well, then I'm thinking of, you know, well, we can't play Michael Jackson around him, like Dirty Diana. You couldn't be doing that. He'll get mad.
Yeah,
That's a no-no. That's a big no-no. So with this album, are you going to be able to like get people together to play live with some of the songs?
This comes up with everybody. And
yeah, well, we want to see.
The true honest answer to that for me to reproduce the kind of show I would want to do, to be an immersive experience with this music, that the same feeling you get with the live album, I would need Roger Waters' budget to do.
Yeah, really.
You know, I would need, because I would want, I'm totally into production, show production, hence I do Ultimate Jam.
But the video behind,
Having footage that ties into everything and kind of telling a story. But there's so many musicians. I mean, I've got acoustic guitars, a pedal steel, I've got keyboards, I've got, you know, so to pull it off properly, I don't know if I could do it. I could do a honed down version and do some of the songs off of it.
Ultimate Jam, because it is an Ultimate Jam that way.
Well, yeah, I could probably, in fact, that was my partner said, hey, you should at least do a couple. So I'm thinking about, we're set up there with 5 cameras to do live streaming. And when we do that, and I was thinking about doing a few of the songs and filming it all, and then putting together a nice live presentation of like Throwing Stones, for instance. I just got to get Joe Retta down here. He lives in Reno. Hence, Joe Retta sang that an incredible vocal on Throwing Stones, but he couldn't be here. So I got together with my friend that I did the video with, and I said, what am I going to do? So we came up with the concept of putting him in the TV. Like it's everything's all over the place. You saw how it's all disheveled looking. Shot in a bunker, and you saw the TV room, and so we put him in a TV.
Cool.
Yes, and it worked really well.
See that I dig stuff like that. That's got to be. It's fun, you know. It reminds me of old like. Yeah, I mean, it's like old Peter Gabriel when he started doing all kinds of crazy stuff like that, you know. David Byrne, you know.
Yeah. I actually saw Genesis' first concert. Speaking of growing up here, I saw their very first concert at the Roxy. A little crowd.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
Genesis.
Cool.
I'm really a prog background guy.
That makes sense.
I had a band late 70s for 6 years that was called Satter. And we were the first band in history to have a laser show. We were the guy that was developing the technology up at Pasadena Tech, and we were shooting it off the mirrors for the first time.
Cool.
We had a screen behind us, and we were doing all kinds of crazy laser stuff with the screen. And I had 2 stages that looked like flying saucers, and we were really big draw. Cool. Yeah, we were a really big draw back then. But I wrote all the music. You know, we were odd time signatures. It was kind of a cross between, if you can imagine, Genesis and Led Zeppelin. I mean, rock and rolled, but we did some trippy things. We actually handed out this singer was an amazing artist, and we were totally into, I don't know if you're familiar with Heavy Metal Magazine, but which is a cartoon-oriented sci-fi type magazine. So we handed out these little pamphlets that was for this thing called The Trilogy, which was a sci-fi story within our show. So people could read along like with the lyrics and how the story unfolds. It was a pretty elaborate band that was going. But yeah, my roots are all changed after seeing Yes I was in a Deep Purple and Black Sabbath, and I saw Yes when I was a kid, and I went, oh my God.
So, it gets even bigger. Yeah.
I became cool. More of that kind of into that kind
that's
of
fun.
Is that your bird or Nancy? Are those?
Yeah,
you know, no, that's and the pig is now waking up.
No,
the pig hears the bird. This is funny.
His name is Chibi Chan.
Oh,
and he was actually Keith Emerson's bird. My girlfriend was with Keith for 10 years until he passed.
Oh, wow.
And this he actually does Tarkus. He goes,
no way.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess he jumped out of his cage and he's out by my out the office door right now.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully he won't interfere too much.
That's funny.
I love it.
I like it.
We always have an animal on our shows. And, you know, when it's somebody else's, we're like, okay, that's awesome. Not that's all the time, you know.
He might stop if I open the door. Hi, Chibi.
Oh. He wants to come in.
The thing is he loves himself so much. He has a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he sees the mirror, he goes, I love you, Chibi Chan.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait, it's so funny. That is so funny.
Open the door.
I love it.
He's quiet. Anyway,
so what is next for you? This project is out and about.
It's about to come out. So all my energies right now have been to do things like discussing the record with you, people like you. That I'm glad you're so into it. It's great.
I dig it. I think it should have Nancy's always into the rock operas and mm-hmm. you know that whole thing. And if you can add sci-fi and everything, but you know with your prog rock background, you know. It makes perfect sense to this album because it definitely has it in there. And I think it'd be really cool to like a series of videos. Like it's almost like could do like a movie series with the videos. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're all telling a story that all it's so far the videos have been reflective of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do want to do at least one more and, the song See You on the Other Side has been getting a really great response. So I'm considering that and Giving Up the Ghost is one of my favorite songs on the song.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
Very beautiful song. The guitar solo in it by Jude Gold, who's with Jefferson Starship, is just phenomenal. All the players on, there's five guitar players on that song.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Like, eh.
Darkness was a surprise too.
Oh, okay, yeah. So,
but it was perfect placement in the whole series, though. Oh, you know.
Yeah, I was. You know, sequencing this record was not easy. That song has always been a favorite of mine since I was a kid. You know, I saw the Youngbloods when I was a kid. Before I think I was 15 or 14, or whatever. And but that song is always. Just it's hit cool. me every time with the lyric.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to do a truly Celtic approach to it. So I have fiddle. I have an acoustic band here in town called Acoustic Saints. And my guitar player also is a killer violin player. His name is Rick Salon.
Mm.
I had him do fiddle and then I added Bahrain. And then I wanted to do like a tribal drum.
Cool.
So I have three different drummers playing tom-tom things. It'd be perfect for like a movie like Braveheart or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. To me, I love that. And because I love anything that gets tribal and Celtic music does it, you know,
I'm a big Lorena McKennitt fan. So, you know, that's totally right there. And the singer on it is so good. It's David Victor, who is in, he was in Boston for a couple of years. You know, the band Boston, the city, the band.
I know, you know.
Yeah, he just did a brilliant job on the vocal. And so that's another one that I just felt needed to be done. I actually was going to sing.
Cool.
I sing on most of the records I'm on.
Yeah.
Singer, but I have so many great singers around me. I go, why I could do it even better. Why not do it better? So hence he's on that.
I did.
On that song. Mm.
I love it. To me, have you ever heard of the Wicked Tinkers?
I have not.
Oh my God. So okay. So like, you know how music can just get into this building of a frenzy. Like, you know, they're Celtic, but they bring in like a didgeridoo and, you know, and they get a little crazy. They go to all those like Celtic, you know, festivals. And we used to go watch them at the San Diego Scottish Highland Games, but it gets so tribal and so crazy. They're just beating tribal. You know, beating the drums, going out in the audience, and it just, you dig it. I think you dig it if you check them out. Yeah
I think you have to listen to Wallop the Cat.
Yeah. But anyway, no, it's, I love that you put it in there because it, and it makes sense where it is with all
the name
different
again?
The Wicked Tinkers.
Wicked.
I think their label that is theirs is Thistle Prick Productions. But they've done a lot. They've like, you know, backed up the Dixie Chicks and
we've
done so many interviews and I just, it's just their energy and they're really good musicians, you know, they, you know, and they're
like a world musician kind of thing.
Yeah, them and another band, Tempest. You'd see them in the
Tempest is good.
Tempest
too.
Is wild, more and they rock. Get more Viking and
yeah.
Yeah, things will get broken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's really neat. And I just when it ends up on an album that you least expect it on, it makes me really happy to hear that kind of music. Yeah. You know?
And that's what, you know what? One of the things with now that it's an album, because like I said, I never intended it to do a solo album. I would much prefer this to be my legacy than some of the rock stuff. Like, you know, everybody knows Bang Your Head because it sold 10 million copies and it's my first album I ever did and all that. But really what I'm about is this album, music. I mean, when I was with House of Lords, I was a main writer there. And there's some depth and progginess to some of that. And it was a great band live. But this album really kind of covers all the stuff I'm into, except for I didn't do any reggae. I produced 2 reggae records, but I didn't do any reggae.
I want to hear those. Talk about writing. Has it changed for you since when you first started writing? About how you write because of technology, has it changed?
Well, putting the songs together certainly has helped. And also working at home, being able to just overdub ideas myself, you know, and try different things here at home.
Because you produced this album too.
I did. And I had different guys mix.
Okay.
There's different guys involved. Tim Jansen's, who's an amazing talent. I mean, he's won awards as a film scorer and all that. Has become a friend of mine, and he actually co-produced some of the songs with me, and he mixed some of the songs on it. And he's also the cinematographer and editor. He's a genius. Wow. He doesn't. He's from Belgium. I'm so, you know, and we've become very close friends. And we've been talking about doing a video production company together.
It'd be cool because your music.
I produced
your music. Yeah.
Ooh. I produced it. I put it all together, and then he's got the vision, and you know the being such a great camera operator, you know, person, and editor, and also I'm blessed too. The album cover. I don't know if you probably don't know, but I have dabbled in graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
I worked
for
3 labels in the 90s. I've done over 200 CD packages, but when the best of the best, Glenn Wexler, who's done Rush, he's done Black Sabbath, he's done 2 Van Halen, on and on and on. He's been on the cover of Time. I mean, he was in Time Magazine, all this. When he says, hey, I'd be into doing your cover, your CD package for you, you know, I'm going, oh my God, am I lucky or what? So
it's cool.
I think the bottom line is with this Sheltering Sky, I've been able to surround myself with really, really talented people.
That's exciting.
That all brought their A game.
Well, you can hear it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is such, you know, because I didn't even look at the names and I have to keep going back because I just listen. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, you're just stuck in it. And it is like I said, it's just so well-crafted, but flows. And that's what I always listen to is when it can go into a different genre of music, or another song that's completely different that you wouldn't expect. But it should flow, so it's not like you don't snap out of the album. You know what I mean? I find that's a really good, you know, technique to have when people can add these different elements in, but you're still glued.
You're still immersed in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Because it flows and the dynamics are, I mean, it's just, yeah, man, this is awesome.
For me, I know something is worthy when I get away from it for a month or whatever, and then I put it back on and I go, oh my God, this is really good.
You know, that's
then,
cool.
Then you know. It's taken about 18 months or whatever it was to actually see the whole thing into fruition, to get it done, you know, over time, you know, working with different people and their schedules and developing the songs and trying things. And I have a bunch of other material that could be completed still too.
Oh, so part 2. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what, if this is well received, it's you know, we'll see. It might happen. I might be able to do another one.
Oh, cool.
Good.
That'd be great.
We're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you for joining us. I got to give a shout out to our sponsor, and we love to promote them. They're the National Parks Arts Foundation.
Yes,
everyone, if you go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org, they're an awesome nonprofit for artists. So what happens if you're an artist, dancer, musician, poet, filmmaker, just saying, there are artist residencies where you get to stay in a park for a month. So like Hawaii Volcanoes, they put you in a massive house overlooking the ocean, and you get to play in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park for a full month, and they have a recording studio. Just saying. There's Chaco Canyon up in northern New Mexico. There's Dry Tortugas, where you go and you have your own island on Loggerhead Key, and you have to take somebody with you because you have to go with your supplies, like all your groceries. They put you on a boat, take you to be off the grid on an island. I think that is super cool. I mean, it's unique. So anyway, nationalparksartsfoundation.org is the website. So check out the opportunity.
National Parks
Everybody. Yeah, they are. They are awesome. So
that sounds fantastic.
It is awesome. It really is. We do a show with them every first Friday and interview all the artists while they're there, unless they're on Dry Tortugas, then we can't connect. But we do a lot of interviews with the artists that have been doing the parks. But your website, everyone, chuckwright.com. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to go to buy the music, learn more, watch the videos. And also, any of the special places that you want people to know about for social media, any of that? Bandcamp?
I'm not on Bandcamp.
Okay.
Because I'm with the record label, you don't go on Bandcamp. You could go, if you want to know more about my event, Ultimate Jam Night, ultimatejamnight.com has a lot of information on it. I'm actively on Facebook too much. So you can find me there as well. My personal is Chuck Wright One, and then I have an official Chuck Wright Official, which you can go to as well and follow there. And I have a YouTube channel, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually, people might find it fun to watch me in Lederhosen on Full House. I did the last season of Full House with John Stamos.
Oh, cool.
So, there you go.
Yeah, doing a Kiss song in full polka version.
No, that's it. I'm going to go watch that. I missed that.
Yeah. You might get a laugh out of that. We were called the Monkey Puppets. Anyway.
Oh, no way.
Named by one of the Olsen twins. Yeah, in the show. Yeah, it's fun. It's like, whatever.
You got to do stuff like that. We dressed up as clowns to sell coloring books for an animal shelter.
Shush, don't tell.
And then we did go through a drive-through and they didn't think it was funny.
I guess
they don't like that. Well, now everybody's in the mask anyway, so now probably wouldn't
bother. But now we know what it feels like to be Kiss going out with all that makeup. You know, it's not fun.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to do that every day.
Hell no.
You know, Gene's a friend of mine, and I just, you know, I've never really asked him that. I go, how do you deal with having to wear makeup all the time? You know, but that's their thing. You know, they're
smart. They are smart.
Gene will sell anything. He's mad at a nickel because it's not a dime. So, you know,
and it's bigger. What's up?
Yes. Oh boy, here we go.
Really, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to close it off Army of Me. So everybody enjoy this. It was the first single off the album. Again, Chuck Wright's Sheltering in Sky is out. So go get it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. It's been a joy talking with you both. Thank you very much.
It's fun.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10,